Last year has been filled with grief and groaning, with loss and loneliness, with darkness and doubt. Perhaps like Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus died, you and I have come to Jesus a time or two with the words, "Lord, if only you would have been there, this would not have happened." If only. This last year has been filled with if onlys. But we don't have to stop at if only. There's also what if. What if are the words of Easter? They are the words of hope and expectancy. What if it's true? What if he is the resurrection and the life? What if the empty tomb is overflowing with hope? What if resurrection power has been let loose in the world? What if the turn of the page has already come? What if he is our resurrection champion? But it turns out that what ifs are little more than wishes and dreams until they are gripped by the even if. Even if I'm the only one. Even if life has led me to the graveyard. Even if I think I know better. If you say so, Jesus, I will do it. Even if is the passionate commitment that we need to move into the next chapter. When Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life," he's really asking, do you trust me? In the midst of the mess and the loss, in the midst of racism, shootings, political turmoil, in the midst of COVID-19, divorce, depression and despair, Jesus asks us, do you trust that right now, at this moment, I am your champion?
Hello, Calvary Church. My name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's so good to be with you, and thank you so much for joining with us today. It's been a little while since I've had the opportunity to teach, and I'm thankful to be able to do it in the IF series, especially as we approach our next CWOW Sunday with a specific focus on inviting our neighbors into our backyards, our homes, our lives, and eventually into an encounter with Jesus. Now, what's on my heart to talk about is in the area of what it means to invite someone to encounter Jesus. But instead of focusing in just on the specific invitation to receive Christ or to repeat a prayer or even to attend church, I want to zero in on what impact we might have if we each cultivated an inviting life. Now, my oldest son, Nathaniel, and I recently went to the movie theater in person on the big screen to watch a movie called A Quiet Place 2. Now, it was written and produced by John Krasinski, who you may remember from SGN, Some Good News, during the pandemic. He also played Jim in The Office. We had watched the first movie sometime during the pandemic, and we both really liked it. The first one was an incredibly tense horror movie that was extremely well written, really well produced. We had hopes that the sequel would be just as good, and we were not disappointed. The story picks up smoothly right where the first movie left off. The acting was superb, and there was this palpable sense of tension throughout the entire movie without having to rely on gore or cheap scares. The runtime was only around an hour and a half, and it didn't lose our attention for a second. It was honestly one of the best sequels of a movie that I've ever seen, and it was the perfect movie to see on the big screen once the theaters had opened back up. And I've noticed on several occasions either him, my son Nathaniel, or me talking about this movie to other people and just letting them know how good it was. Now, what I just did is something that we all like to do. We get excited to praise the things in life that we truly enjoy, those things that exceed our expectations. We do it when we go to certain vacation spots that just blow us away. We do it after we've gone to a restaurant and the food was incredible and the customer service was top-notch. We do it when we find a new author or a book series that we just can't get enough of, we can't put it down. And I don't know how many times I've had someone point out to me the amazing sunset that's happening at Harvest Fields on a Saturday or Sunday evening. We love to praise what exceeds our expectations. We want others to enjoy what we are enjoying. We want others to feel what we are feeling and experience what we're experiencing. There is something in our hearts that seeks to invite others into those experiences, to share the joys that we find in our lives. And I believe that we also see this happening throughout Scripture. If you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to read through verses 1 through 4. So let's read it together. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Now, if you were following along in the New King James Version, the King James Version, you may have noticed a small difference. In a few translations, verse 4 states that we write this to make your joy complete rather than our joy complete. However, most translations have it as our, and I believe that our is what most accurately captures what's being communicated here. Even though John has seen Jesus and heard Jesus and walked with Jesus, there is a piece of his enjoyment of Christ, of his joy in the fellowship that he has with God the Father through God the Son, that is only completed with his praise of God and the invitation to others to enter in. Here's the reality. Praise completes our enjoyment. Praise completes enjoyment. C.S. Lewis touched on this reality when he said this: I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it is expressed. It is frustrating to have discovered a new author and not be able to tell anyone how good he is, or to come suddenly at the turn of the road upon some mountain valley of unexpected grandeur and then have to keep silent because the people with you care for it no more than for a tin can in the ditch, to hear a good joke and find no one to share it. He goes on to say, the Scotch Catechism says that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. But we shall then see that to know these are the same thing. Fully to enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify him, God is actually inviting us to enjoy him. I believe that this is what we're hearing from John. It's an enjoyment of God that isn't complete until shared with others, until John brings others in to experience it for themselves. Also, praise carries an implicit invitation. As we enjoy God, our natural reaction will be to praise him, to talk about his love and grace, to share about his faithfulness and provision. This leads us towards an invitational life because praise carries with it an implicit invitation. If I were to tell you about the seared filet mignon medallions with lobster sauce at Kelly's Steak and Seafood Restaurant and how unbelievably delicious they are, how tender the steak is, how perfectly flavored the sauce is, you would intuitively understand that I was inviting you to go to Kelly's and experience that meal for yourself. Even if I didn't invite you to actually come with me the next time I went, you would be receiving an invitation through my praise. I believe that the same thing is true as we praise Christ. When we sit with our friends, with our family, our neighbors around the dinner table, and we simply talk about some of the amazing attributes of our Lord and Savior, when we talk about his faithfulness and what he's doing, we will be implicitly inviting them to experience him for themselves. Now, there is still a place for explicit invitation. We need to keep our hearts open to the Holy Spirit for his leading us to extend an explicit invitation. To invite them to encounter Christ, to pray and receive him as Lord. But that invitation will be empowered by the groundwork of our praise. I also want to say that ongoing encounters with Jesus is what leads to an invitational life. My final thought about cultivating this invitational life is how often in Scripture we see someone encounter Jesus and then begin to invite others to encounter him for themselves. We see examples of this with the woman at the well in John 4. This is a beautifully powerful encounter that she has with Christ, and one of her first reactions is to run back to town and tell everyone about him. Jesus meets Levi at his tax booth. We see this in Luke chapter 5, and Jesus tells Levi to follow him. The next thing we read is that Levi holds this huge banquet where he seemed to invite just about everybody he knew to come in, have a meal, and encounter Jesus. In Luke 8, Jesus encounters a man filled with evil spirits and delivers him. The man begs to follow Jesus, but instead Jesus tells him to return home and tell everyone what God has done for him. So he goes home and praises the work and power of God to everyone around town. Also a picture of invitation through praise. In John chapter 1, Andrew spends about a day with Jesus, and it seems like the first thing he does is to go and tell his brother Peter all about Jesus, inviting Peter to encounter Jesus. Later in that same chapter, we read the same thing about Philip encountering Jesus, and his first response was to go and to find Nathanael and invite him to come and see. So what is it that keeps us from cultivating an invitational life? What are the barriers that make us or the idea of inviting seems so far from second nature to us? I think, first of all, we've replaced relationship for information. The Christian life is primarily about being relationally restored with our Father through the work of Jesus Christ. We've been invited into a living relationship with God. Almost every example that I gave of people encountering Jesus and then inviting others in was directly after a fresh encounter with Jesus. This is what we mean when we talk about creating space to be still with God. We did a whole series of being still, of saying that we have to be able to create space to encounter Christ, to just be present with Him. And it is a rhythm of creating space to encounter Jesus. And when that space to encounter Jesus isn't present, we tend to replace encounters with Jesus with information about Jesus. I think this is why the idea of talking to someone about Jesus so often, the idea of invitation so often is linked to knowing all the answers. You know, I don't know how many people that I've talked to and, you know, about the idea of sharing Christ, sharing their faith, inviting someone, whether it be into their home, their backyard, the church, inviting someone into a gospel conversation. And one of the chief concerns that they have, or one of the chief fears that they voice is, well, what if they ask me questions and I don't know the answer? You know, what if I don't have the answer to all the various questions that they may ask me? And I think that there's this natural link that especially comes to the surface when we're not personally having fresh encounters with Jesus. And we replace those fresh encounters with just information. If I can answer the questions, if I can have the information, if I know the right answer when the question gets asked, then it won't be so obvious maybe that I'm not actually encountering Jesus myself. I can actually remember a time shortly after I was on staff here at Calvary. I got invited to a prayer retreat, just kind of a short, just afternoon prayer retreat with a ministry called Third Place. And I decided to go, and I showed up, and there was some worship, you know, obviously some times of prayer. There was a speaker there that did a great job. Lauren Koistra did a great job. And then we had an opportunity to just kind of go off to the side and spend, it was not even a lot of time. I think it was something like, you know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, maybe at the most, to just kind of be quiet and listen and ask God what He may be wanting to speak to us. And I can remember sitting down and thinking to myself, you know, and it's a little humbling to even admit this, but, you know, thinking to myself, well, I don't know what I'm going to hear in that short of a window of time, you know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever. It's like by the time I kind of still my own mind and get away from, you know, the busyness of the day or what I have coming after this prayer retreat's over, you know, all those types of thoughts going through my head. But I remember sitting down. I wasn't even the only one in the room, and just kind of trying to still my heart, quiet, and just listen. And I'm an avid reader. I love to read. You know, if you're somebody who's into strength finders, that type of thing, one of my top strength, I think it's my top strength, is learner. I love to learn about various things, but specifically theology. I love to read theological books. I love to read about even, you know, points of view that I don't necessarily agree with, but I like to learn where they're coming from, and I like the way that it makes me think through what I believe. And so I love to read, and I read a lot of different books. And as I was sitting there just trying to listen for the voice of God, you know, I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I felt like what He said, I believe what He spoke to me that afternoon was, He said, "Scott, you like to read about other people's encounters with me more than you pursue an encounter with me yourself. You like to learn about me more than you want to encounter me." And it was just such a convicting moment. And I don't think there's anything wrong with reading and learning about theology. I mean, God shaped me the way that I'm shaped. He's the one that put learner at the top of my strength finder. So I believe that there's even a way of worshiping Him as I learn and bringing that passion that He's given me and focusing it towards learning about Him and learning about theology and learning about the church and all those things. But there was a line that I had kind of crossed where I had begun to replace personal relationship, personal encounters with Jesus, with just information about him, or even just reading about somebody else's encounter with him. Someone who has been spending time with Jesus will have a much more inviting life than someone who has only been reading about Jesus. And the second thing that came to mind about what might keep us from being able to cultivate an inviting life is the idea that we've lost the expectation of enjoyment. Are you genuinely enjoying your relationship with Jesus? Do you expect to enjoy your relationship with our Heavenly Father? We should. I should. You should. And if we find ourselves struggling with that reality or struggling to believe that when God looks at us, he feels anything other than disappointment. You know, Pastor Dan mentioned this if you were here last week in his message. I was reading a book by a guy named David Benner. It's called, I believe, Surrender to Love. And one of the first things that he brings up in the first chapter of the book is he says, let's do an exercise. And I'm going to invite you to do this exercise with me. We'll just take 30 seconds to a minute. But the exercise is this. Close your eyes, picture God, and then picture what emotion do you believe comes into his heart and his mind as he looks at you. So let's take just 30 seconds, close your eyes, and picture that. What emotion do you believe comes into the heart of God when he looks at you? When I did this exercise, I found that my answer was exactly what David Benner in his book said was the most common answer. He said, far and away, the most common answer to that question, to that exercise, is disappointment. He said the most common answer that he comes across when he asks people to enter into that exercise, their answer is disappointment. And he just goes on to make the case, one, that disappointment is the wrong answer. It may be what feels real to us. It may be that, you know, it is my answer. It may be your answer at times is when I think about God looking at me and I can't help but think about, you know, how little time maybe I've spent with him this week or the times that I've gotten frustrated and I've lashed out at my wife or my kids or the times that I was, you know, had opportunity to step into generosity and instead I chose to be fearful and to step back from that opportunity or whatever that the case may be, all the different things that we do, the sins that we commit, the sins of commission and omission, the things that we don't do that we know we should have done, you know, just the times that we just know inherently because we have a relationship with God, not with a book, you know, and we know we've been ignoring him. We're just not giving him the time that we would want somebody in a close relationship to give to us. And all that stuff just starts swirling around in our hearts and in our minds. And we think, how can he be anything other than disappointed? And David Benner makes the case that not only is disappointment the wrong answer, but it will keep us from being able to fully enter in and enjoy our relationship with God. We've lost that expectation of being able to genuinely enjoy our relationship with God. You know, I mentioned it in the catechism, in the C.S. Lewis quote, that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him. Some people say by enjoying him forever. We're called, we're created to enjoy our relationship with our Father. And if we're not able to enjoy our relationship with him, and how hard must that be? If our chief belief, if our number one idea is that when he looks at me, he's disappointed. How can I enjoy a relationship with a father who I think is perpetually disappointed in me? Disappointment is not only the wrong answer, the right answer is so far from it. It's unconditional love. When he looks at me, when he looks at you, despite our flaws, despite our shortcomings, his heart is overflowing with unconditional love. That's the reality of our Father. And that's an aspect of the relationship that until that's true in our hearts and in our minds, it's going to be incredibly difficult for us to really enjoy our relationship with our Father. And I can tell you, if we're not enjoying our relationship with our Father, why would we invite someone else in to have that same kind of relationship with God that I have? Why would I invite somebody in to a relationship that's going to be riddled with feelings of disappointment and inadequacy and always letting God down? But when I understand the unconditional love of God and I've experienced it and I've encountered Jesus and I've encountered the unconditional love of God, that's something that I'll be excited to invite somebody into. And not only invite them into, but my life, the way that I live, the way that I act, and the way that I react, the way that I talk about my wife and my kids, and the way that I talk about God. I'll have an invitational life because I'm enjoying my relationship with Him. We probably need to circle back around to being still and allowing Him to speak His truth over us. I think that's the answer to those feelings of God's just disappointed in me, is chances are we're not really leaning into those spaces of being still. We're allowing those be still times to kind of go onto the back burner or to become the part of our day or the part of our schedule that is the last thing we do. Everything else needs to get done. And if there's time, I'll sit down alone with Jesus. And I know I'm speaking this as much to me as to anybody else. But if we're not consistently having fresh encounters with Jesus, we're not going to cultivate an invitational life. You know, almost every single illustration that I have here of people inviting, you know, the woman at the well, Andrew with his brother Peter, Philip with Nathaniel, the demoniac who encounters Jesus and gets set free. You know, every single one of those instances, that invitation, that excitement to get out and say, you've got to experience what I've experienced. You've got to see what I've seen. You've got to meet this Jesus that I've just met. Almost every single one of those instances, and all the other ones that come to mind, are almost always, if not always, directly after a fresh encounter with Jesus. Very rarely do we see in Scripture, I can't think of a time, but I may be just going blank, but very rarely, if ever, do we see in Scripture somebody excitedly telling somebody else about the Jesus that they met 6 years ago, or the encounter that they had with Christ last fall. It's the fresh encounter that motivates us or cultivates within us that invitational life, because it's the fresh encounter that keeps the enjoyment right at the surface where it's supposed to be. You know, in my marriage, I don't want to have a loving encounter with my wife once every couple years or once or twice a year. You know, it's to be able to encounter her day in and day out, week in and week out, and be able to talk about the conversations that I had with her just yesterday and have that fresh in my heart when I think about her, when her name comes to mind. I'm not stretching back weeks or months to try to remember the last time that we really talked, that we really connected. And that's the same thing that Christ wants with each one of us. He doesn't want us to have to be thinking back weeks or months or longer to remember the last time that we really connected with His heart, that we encountered His love. And so when we have those consistently fresh encounters with Christ, an invitational life is going to bubble up and overflow out of us. I just don't think it can be any other way. Now, that's not to say that hey, if you're not running out and telling everybody around you all about Jesus, then you must not be, your relationship with God must not be in a healthy place, or you must not be encountering God. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if we're not genuinely enjoying our relationship with God and the conversations that we're having with friends and family and neighbors around the dinner table or around the campfire in the backyard, if Jesus isn't coming out, if love of Christ and praise of what He's doing and just telling somebody, man, let me tell you about how God's been encouraging me or providing for me or encountering me with his presence and His love, if that's never happening, then I think we at least have to say, maybe I'm not encountering Him. Maybe those encounters aren't as fresh as I believe them to be. Maybe there's more. Maybe He wants to encounter me in a fresh way, in a new way, that would make it so that praise of God is overflowing in that invitational life. We just carry it with us. We don't have to work ourselves up, the courage up to invite somebody to encounter Jesus. If they just get around us and spend time with us and just listen to the way we talk and the stories that we're telling, they're going to, by our praise of Christ, there's going to be an implicit invitation going out from our hearts to their hearts 24/7, because we can't stop talking about Jesus. And if we become a people who are pursuing Jesus' heart, we will encounter Him. He wants to have fresh encounters with us far more than we even want to have fresh encounters with him. And so we will be a people who enjoy our relationship with him, and praise will be the natural completion of that enjoyment. We will be a people whose very lives are an invitation to encounter Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your love for us, for the invitation that you give us to encounter you, to have relationship with you, to enjoy restoration, reconciliation in our relationships with you. And God, it's your heart for us to enjoy our relationship with you, to experience the reality of your love in a way that completely changes our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would help that to be true of every single one of us today. Help us to encounter you. Help us to create the space we need to consistently encounter you. And God, draw us to yourself and help us to be a people who have cultivated an invitational life, that when people get around us and they just spend time with us and hear us, God, that as we praise you with our actions, with our words, in our relationships, in our jobs, everywhere that we go, God, as the reality of our encounters with you overflow out of our lives, God, let there be a consistent invitation for others to see and to experience and to encounter you. And we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.